Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll meditate this morning on that first lesson. It's from Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 33. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, the Christ of God, crucified and risen, dearly redeemed believers, disciples of the Lord Jesus. What if your daughter was working for the neighbor and came back crying day after day and kept telling you stories that the neighbor was going to try to force your daughter to marry his son? Once, twice, you're over at that house. You're going to have a little discussion with the neighbor man, even if you're the mom. Would you expect your neighbor to pour gasoline on you and light you on fire? It happened a couple years ago in Pakistan to a Christian woman whose daughter worked for a Muslim who was going to force her, he said, to marry his son. There is real persecution going on throughout the world to this day. So let's say your daughter is in a Miss USA pageant and gets a question about marriage and comes out very honestly and says, I believe it's between one man and one woman. What's going to happen? You don't have to imagine anymore, do you? Tarred and feathered by the media, Carrie Prejoin, whatever her name is, just confessed her faith and some say lost the crown because of it. Miss North Carolina, Kristen Dalton, she said, I'll leave it up to the politicians to decide what marriage is. There's a real novel idea, right? Let's just leave our morality up to the politicians to tell us what morality should be. You wonder where this started. I firmly believe it was in the churches. When you have religious leaders going back decades in the United States, almost to the beginning of our country, questioning whether or not God created the world in 6 days, as the Bible says, what do you expect? If you can't believe the first verse of the Bible, how are you going to believe the rest of it? Especially when creation is all over the Scriptures. If we question the very Word of God, why should anyone else believe it? Have we given a good, solid witness of what faith is and what Christ is and who He is? Or do we just have a lot of complaining to do about the way society is falling apart and we can't look at ourselves to see, what does that word say? What are we supposed to say? And where do we say it? You know, there's really only one solution, and it's in the last sentence of this text. This is what we need. Did you hear it all the way to the end of that? Much grace was upon them all. That's what we need, the grace, the undeserved love of God, so that we can step up in steadfast faith. Okay, so what'd they do? What did Peter and John do that meant they had to get hauled into court by the Jewish religious leaders? Famous names back in verse 6 of this same chapter. You've heard these before. Annas the high priest was there. So was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other men of the high priest's family. What did those disciples do? Run a stoplight? You know, shoplifting? Murder? No, they actually went up to the temple. There was a man up there everybody knew. He was 40 years old. He'd been crippled since birth. They healed the man. Now, there's a reason to get hauled into court, right? They healed the man, but what really irritated the Jewish religious leaders is they healed the man in the name of Jesus. There's a problem, because they thought they got rid of him. They had him crucified. He was an imposter as far as his own religious leaders were concerned. And to come along and say that he's risen as the Christ of God, and able by his power through his followers to heal a cripple, oh, couldn't be worse. Haul him into jail. Tell him to be quiet. You can't talk about him anymore or say anything more in the name of Jesus. Especially irritating if you're a highly educated member of the Jewish Sanhedrin like our Supreme Court, and these are Galilean fishermen. Intimidation shouldn't be too hard, should it? After all, they were hiding behind locked doors Easter evening and the following week too. Things have changed. This is after Pentecost, when they're told to be silent. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel," because, you know, this is a rumor we want to get around. Be sure you spread this. "Tell everybody else, the people of Israel, it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Instead of silence, they get a steadfast, solid confession. They're not intimidated at all, those disciples of the Lord Jesus. So, I guess since they're brave, that ought to be the end of it. Why have this text in here? Because you know what they did after... Did you ever have one of those experiences where the Lord surprises you, puts you in a situation, maybe even a dangerous and difficult situation, and you speak up, and then afterwards, and you start to think about what you said and what happened there, it can get pretty scary. And then you think about this same disciple, Peter, when the Lord Jesus warned him, "Today, before the rooster crows, you will disown me." And he swears up and down, "No way, Lord." Reminds me of a comment in the Bible study that I was in last week in Sun City, Arizona, where the pastor quoted C.F.W. Walther, Missouri Synod president, started out and helped straighten out the Wisconsin Synod so many years ago, and made the comment, "Thank God we don't have those problems in our synod." You hear the Pharisee in that. You hear Wisconsin Synod people say things like that now and then too. What we ought to do is thank God for his mercy and beg him not to let us go down that path where we fail to mention the name of Jesus, where we fall in line with our society that'll talk about all sorts of gods, any religion is fine, but if you say Jesus the Christ, you're offending people. Just listen to these public prayers. Wherever you are, if a public prayer is stated, you will rarely ever hear the name of Jesus. In fact, if you were asked to say a public prayer and you said, I am going to mention the name of Jesus as the only Savior, salvation is found in no one else, there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved, you'd be dismissed. You will not say that prayer. Some have asked why I don't write in the local paper anymore in the pastor's corner. Used to send in articles all the time. Well, I noticed they weren't getting printed. And then when I called and I was told where they're lost in the email. You know, blame it on the computer. So I started to ask some direct questions. You have a problem with Jesus Christ as the only Savior and me stating that as my faith. Yeah, that's a little hard to swallow. Why write? That's why I'm not writing it. Why write it and waste it? We have our own ways of spreading God's word. In fact, you're better off doing it personally, oftentimes than in the public media, because we're being censored. Why does this surprise us? Why does this surprise us that, you know, we're not shedding blood here in our country, our blood, for the sake of Christ and the cross? One of our professors pointed that out in a class entitled The Menace of Islam. He says, we are in a strange time in our country where we are not shedding our blood for the sake of Christ. So don't be surprised that the disciples realized, you know, if we try to stand on our own, if we try to stand on our own in our own strength, before the rooster crows, we deny our Lord. So they go back to the fellowship. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported that what the chief priests had said. We have to share with each other in the fellowship of believers the struggles that we have in our day-by-day life, especially when it comes our way because we spoke up for our Lord Jesus. We need the fellowship, and it is a wonderful blessing to have this fellowship clear and plain in our Wisconsin Synod, and may God protect it. That's what they were talking about, Bob and Dune, and some of you have traveled around and you've listened to sermons in other places, or you pick up the CDs from Pastor Patterson or listen on the radio or on the TV to Mark Jeske. Different style, but you are hearing that same message of law and gospel, sin and grace. We're not born knowing that. We're not born knowing how to communicate that and to teach it. And that's why it's so expensive to maintain schools, two preparatory schools, high school, and then the college, and then the seminary. It's expensive, but so worth it to hear that same message of Christ crucified and risen and the solid fellowship, disciplined fellowship, self-disciplined fellowship, to keep that word clear and plain. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Where else are you going to go? Because when you wake up after you've opened your mouth, sometimes you're shaking a little bit. It's scary to think, what could happen to me now? God put the words in my mouth. He said, open your mouth and I will fill it. I did, and now I'm scared. So they go back to the fellowship. They pray. You see where they start? Did you catch that? You know, these people that say, well, you know, that those first couple chapters of the Bible, they used to believe that, but we're more enlightened now. We don't believe that. So where do the apostles go? Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth. Back to the beginning. First verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. They go right back there. You made the heaven and the earth, the sea and everything in them. You spoke by your Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant David. Well, there's verbal inspiration. This is God's word, not written by man. It's not myth and legend. It's God's word. You spoke, our father David, that would be 1,000 years before Christ. Why do the nations rage? Literally, that would be, for what purpose? This is their God, their creator, the redeemer who came to shed his blood for all of them, every person, and the spirit who wants to sanctify them through word and sacrament. For what purpose would you rage against God? Why do the nations rage? What's the purpose? And how futile can you get to fight against God? Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one, capitalized. That means Christ or Messiah. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. You know, if he was still in the grave, decaying, these 50-plus days after Easter, this is even after Pentecost now, and he's still dead, then he can't keep his promises to rise again. He's not the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He can't be the Christ. He's definitely not the Son of God. If you throw out Easter, there's no reason for prayer. And if you try to pray in some other name besides the name of Jesus, who says, no one comes to the Father except through me, then your prayers are like bottle rockets on the 4th of July. They go up to heaven and they fall back to earth again. Prayer to the air goes nowhere. Prayer in the name of Jesus, he catches those prayers in those nail-pierced hands and takes them to the throne of your heavenly Father, who's going to listen to his Son, who volunteered on this rescue mission to save us all from our everlasting damnation in hell that we so much deserved. Because you know what? There's been times I've not been willing or able to step up in steadfast faith. The fact that we are struggling to maintain our ministerial schools shows our Wisconsin Synod is not willing, member by member, to step up in steadfast faith. The fact that our giving is at about 4% of our income across the board, that's average. Some are far less than that, like nothing. Some are far more, thank God, like Zacchaeus or the widow in the temple when Jesus saw that. It's there. But across the board in our synod, 4%, are we honoring God by that? He leaves us free in the New Testament and says, love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind the way he's loved you. But we don't step up. And sometimes we don't even pray. We need to pray. We need to step up. And when we find we've failed and we hear the rooster crowing, it's time to go back to the Lord Jesus on our knees and say, Lord, forgive my fear. Forgive my failures. And dear disciples of Jesus, this is why I am so glad that Jesus died for me and for you and for all. Our synod needs God's word and sacrament, our church, our souls, so that we constantly go back to that word of life 1,000 years before Christ, even Psalm 2, as we heard here, and have our faith strengthened so that we can step up in steadfast faith. Indeed, Herod, so forth, they did what the power and will, your power and will, had decided beforehand what should happen. This was all predicted, told by the prophets. It all came true. Now, Lord, consider their threats. After all, Lord, you're hearing it all. And enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus, crucified, risen, ascended to God's right hand. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Pastor, I don't know what to say. I'm so nervous when I'm sitting there sweating and my heart is pounding and I know I'm supposed to say something. I can only tell you that at the last district convention where all the pastors are there and something's being said and I know I need to say something, my heart starts pounding. I get paid to speak publicly and my heart starts pounding. And I have to sit there and pray to the Lord, help me. This is really ridiculous. This is foolish. It's sinful. It's worrisome. Lord, give me the courage to trust you, dear Lord Jesus, that you truly are here. And you said, even if you're hauled into court, don't worry beforehand what to say. Because on that time, you will be given what to say and how to say it. So say a prayer for boldness, as the disciples did here. And when they prayed, well, watch the hand of God. Stretch out your hand and make your servants bold. And when they prayed, the place was shaken. They spoke the word of God boldly in the power of the Holy Spirit. But that wasn't all. We worship the God of the Bible, the God of all creation, who does things that we would never ask or imagine. We cannot imagine how he would save us by sending his son to die and shed his blood for all. You cannot make this up. Nor can you, dear child of God, dear sheep of the Good Shepherd, figure out how or where the Good Shepherd is leading you in your life. Because when we're going through that dark and shadowy creek bed that goes up through the ravines into the mountains, it's scary. There are cougars up in the rocks up there, and sheep are frightened along that path. But as the shepherd is leading and you're listening to his voice and you realize he's been this way before, you follow on, but you don't know what's up there over the rise. This is the God who is able to do vastly more than all we could ask or imagine. And you see it right here. They prayed for boldness, and what did they get? Love. Not just from God, but between each other. This is such a beautiful description. All the believers were one in heart and mind. They had the mind of Christ. From the depths of their soul, they cared for each other. One in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. Luther commented in one of his sermons that a man is created or converted in three stages. First in his head, then in his heart, and then in his wallet. They were totally converted, if you follow that along, because they didn't consider any of their possessions all their own. What God has given to me as blessings are not mine to keep in selfishness, but mine to use for his glory. They took this attitude that if you need it worse than I do, it's yours. Just say so, and it's yours. That open-handed generosity, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. We have Sundays like this when we go back and we consider the wonderful blessing of walking together in a synod, and specifically our dear Wisconsin Synod, the third church body that I've been in. I was in seventh grade when we finally got into the Wisconsin Synod. Not a real popular decision in all of our family. But what I love about this synod is they're willing to admit where they're wrong when you show them from Scripture. The pastors, professors, the leaders of the synod, you show them in Scripture where they're wrong, they'll apologize even to a seminary student or to a child. Dr. Becker always told us in class, there's no authority in the synod except the word of God. And if a little child tells you, thus says the Lord, and that's what's written there, you better listen, because God said it. And that's the beauty of a synod that hears God's word and disciplines themselves according to that word and listens. Doesn't mean right away. I don't particularly like it if somebody tells me right away where I'm wrong, but you know, after you have a lot of practice admitting it, it actually gets easier over time to say, I'm wrong. And God is right. And if somebody says to you, oh, you Wisconsin Synod people, you think you're always right, tell them, oh, no, no. We just believe God is right. And what he has said in the Holy Scriptures of the Bible, what he has written there, that's right. We just want to follow what he says because it comforts our soul. It helps us step up in steadfast faith and step out in bold proclamation. Because Christ died for all, and they just all need to hear it. And that's your job. As you leave God's house today and step back out into the mission field to talk to people that the rest of us will never see, maybe not this side of eternity, you are the only Bible that some people will ever read. May they read the love of Christ. And may God shake us up with his holy word and sacrament so we deeply love one another. Step up in steadfast faith and step out in bold proclamation. Much grace was upon them all. Amen. Please rise.